Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we've been talking all week about Lent. Continue to journey, hopefully, with all of you to help us see and understand and together give a big yes to Jesus. He's the one who's called us into this season. We are his body, the church. We're united. And he wants to bring all of us deeper into union with him, deeper communion with him, deeper capacity to see, understand, and receive his love, to understand its value. And when that grace goes deeper into each and every one of our hearts, what ends up happening is we start to value things a little bit differently. We start to see what's most valuable in our life. And then the kind of things that we're being challenged to do in Lent, or prayer, fasting, almsgiving, things like that, it's challenging because we may not be doing those things very often. So it's a challenge, and it's good to be challenged. It's good to say yes to it. But oftentimes, because when we're not in the place yet where we're really seeing the full value of the gift that we're given here and now for this life, not just for heaven, but for this life, the union, the intimacy, the friendship with the Lord, the joy of being on mission with Jesus, the healing and transformation he wants to bring to our lives. When we begin to see it, we begin to believe in it, we trust it, hope gets birthed in our hearts, we start to move and slowly deeper into abiding in Jesus on a more regular, more conscious basis. And that brings us further into the graces that he wants to give us. And it's not so much like, oh man, I got to just say no, no, no to all this stuff. And it's not, and it's easy to look at the whole journey we're having as disciples, not so much as friends of Jesus, not so much radically and intimately in love with Jesus, but more like, well, I got to do what I'm supposed to do. And if that's all we got, that's worth doing. But that's just the baby step toward it. Christianity, Catholicism is not just a moral system about kind of shining things up here and there and getting things right here and there. It's about total surrender to a person. And it's welcoming the transforming power of God's work in us through the graces given to us in the church, through the sacraments, through the Word of God, through service, through spiritual gifts, all kinds of things, through a living, vital community. And one of the things that's important for us is to be able to hear Jesus. So we've touched on Monday and Tuesday. If you hadn't had a chance to tune into the program, we were looking at the Last Supper discourse, elements from it, from John 13 through 17, which we'll take up again down the road a bit, and trying to understand and see both the depth at which the love of God is being revealed to us, the total way in which Jesus is coming to literally save us, how critical and how important it is for us to see it, like we need salvation. We need to be saved from eternal separation from God. We need to be saved from the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And yes, as Catholics, we have been saved in baptism. We are being saved if we're walking with Jesus, and we will be saved. But it's not a once saved, always saved deal. Like, okay, I'm saved. I don't have to worry too much because I'm in. It's not how Catholics understand it. We have to take it seriously. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you engage heart to heart, fullness, surrender, and literally we give everything to him. We put him first in every way in our lives. One of the questions we can ask ourselves in Lent is there anything in my life that I'm putting before the Lord's will for me? How I'm using my time, how I'm using my treasure, how I'm handling my relationships, you name it, every part of our lives comes under the lordship of Jesus. And that means freedom. That means life. That means healing, transformation. In a season like Lent is a time when the light, spotlight, the Lord wants to put it on different areas of our life, not simply to accuse us, but to help us see what he sees. Because he's about salvation. He's about bringing us to freedom, the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And he wants each and every one of us to be ready to bypass purgatory, to go right to heaven when we die, to be ready to go right into his presence. Because his promise to the Father is that he's offering salvation to the whole world. And his passion, his desire, manifested in the life of the church, is to bring everyone into the waters of baptism. But many will turn, Scripture says. Many won't make that decision, but the church exists and Jesus longs for it. And his commitment is not only to get us into the waters of baptism, begin the new life, but ultimately Jesus will present those who die in him absolutely purified and perfected to the Father, capable of entering into the communion of love between the Father and the Son, in the glory of the Father and the Son, in the white-hot furnace of love that's existed from all eternity, that is the life of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus' commitment. And Lent is a time where we remember this extraordinary reality that we're already caught up in and where our life is headed. Because guess what? It could happen tomorrow that you meet the Lord. You could die today. Lent is a call for readiness, for willingness, for full surrender. The Lord's inviting us to go deep. And as we talked about Uproom Discourse, we talked both of the kindness and severity of God, as St. Paul put it. Both realities of how Jesus taught, how he led, what he spoke about are expressions of love. Not only the tender mercy and forgiveness, but the Lord's warnings. He loves us so much, he tells us the truth. He wants us to, because he knows there's no freedom without the truth. The truth will set you free. And so he tells us the true condition of the fallen world and the condition and the realities that every single human being is facing. What will be your eternal destiny? I was just looking up in the Gospels how many times Jesus talked about things like the final judgment or eternal consequences. So I'm just going to read a few, but just FYI. So Jesus talked about final judgment 25 times. In the Gospels, he talks about it a lot. Nobody in the Bible talks about it more than Jesus. It's funny, a friend of mine, one of our staff members a number of years ago, we were having a conversation. As a team, we were looking at the sobering reality of how often Jesus talks about these things and how rarely we as preachers and teachers and others, how rarely we ever talk about it. We felt very convicted about it. Like, uh-oh, we got to wake up. Why aren't we talking the way Jesus is talking? And one of the young guys said, well, you know, it's just maybe more effective and people can receive more the loving sayings of Jesus. And I just looked at him. I said, there's not a word, friend, that came out of Jesus' mouth that wasn't loving. The warnings and the serious way in which he tells it, all the parables and other things that he talks about, it's love. It's just as much an expression of his love for us as the most intimate things he says in John 17. Of the Gospels. So here's just a few from Matthew and Luke and Matthew 7:21 and following. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 10:15, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than it will be for certain cities that Jesus was pointing out to in Israel. The parables of the weeds, you know, the Son of Man will send his angels. He's going to separate. There's these parables that constantly talk about separation. And some of them, the weeds that are growing up with the wheat, that is those who are not responding, you know, at the end of their lives, if they die tonight and they haven't responded to the Lord's invitation and the Lord's warnings that have been given, they're weeds. And those weeds will be pulled up and thrown into the fire of hell and judgment. Matthew 13, the parable of the dragnet. The angels will separate the evil from the righteous, Jesus says. There'll be a great separation at the end of time. Matthew 25 is the sheep and the goats. Matthew 13, many will seek to enter but will not be able to. Luke 16:19. Luke 17, the end of time will be like on the days of Noah. when Noah was building an ark and warning was going on, people were mocking him and laughing at him. And the deluge came and a great judgment. Jesus said that the end of time is going to be like that. Mark's gospel. There'll be a final gathering, Mark 24. But Mark 24 and 25 are just really, really strong, where Jesus' warnings are, will shake you to your bones if you're hearing it. It's sobering and it's really, really important. Jesus talks about eternal consequences 30 times. I counted them, but it may be off a few here and there. Matthew 5, 22, whoever says you fool shall be liable to the hell of fire. Matthew 7, 13, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow's the gate that leads to life. Matthew 8, 11, the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. Matthew 10, 28, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 18, 6, it's better to enter life maimed than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. That is, to pluck your eye out if it's causing you to sin. He's saying, do whatever it takes to ready yourself to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Part of that is total yes to Jesus, repentance of sin, resistance to sin, and a passionate desire to walk in the commandments of the Lord like Jesus did. Part of the transformation Jesus wants to make in us is to tenderize our hearts and empower the working of the Spirit in us to learn to hate sin the way Jesus did and to have his love so strong in us that it's easier for us to let go of sin. And we're moving toward him more and more each day. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Jesus is talking about Luke 13. These are just little clips I brought out. John 10, 20, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. He's talking to those who die in the Lord. But for those who don't receive him, for those who don't respond to the gospel, they won't enter eternal life. Now we know the church teaches, Lumen Gentium 16 and a few other places, that it's possible for someone to be saved who's never known the Lord, who's never heard the gospel. And we know that God, who is merciful, will shed his light. He'll give every human being enough grace, enough light to be able to respond to him, and to the degree that they respond to that light. Only the Lord knows the perfect condition of a human heart. What actually is, how have people responded? But there's the world that has billions of people who've heard the message, especially in this day and age. And it's critically important for us not only to speak of the tender mercy of God, but also to help people understand deep in their bones, and that means you and me as well, that we're actually hearing Jesus. He says it over and over again. Are we paying attention to it? And he's doing it not to annoy us or simply just to scare us in a way that's not healthy. He wants us to understand reality as it is. And what's required is the total surrender of our hearts and freedom to him to be saved. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.